Bless that name that truly is above every name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Come on, one more time. I just feel a lingering touch of the Holy Ghost in this place. Come on, entertain His presence here for a moment today. Come on, entertain His closeness that's in this house right now just for a few minutes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to attempt today to do something that's probably not very wise, and that is try to sum up in a short few minutes something that should be weeks and weeks and weeks of being drawn out. But I feel it in my spirit today, and so I'm going to do my best to break it down and try to make it a message. Amen. Maybe I shouldn't reveal that, but so it is. Praise God. Book of Genesis chapter number 3. Amen. Book of Genesis chapter number 3. I want to say this morning again, it is a privilege and not taken lightly to be here and to be able to stand here and deliver the word of the Lord. Amen. Thank you to Brother and Sister Green for allowing us to do that. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3. Verse number 1. The word of the Lord says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Amen. If I could get a little more monitor. I don't know if I lost something there for a minute or not, but it sounded like to me I lost volume, but my ears have been clogged with lots of good things, so that is highly possible it's me, amen, and not them. Praise God. I want to talk today. Oh, yeah, thank you. Praise God. I don't know if you did anything or my ears unlocked. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk for just a little while, preach for just a little while this morning on this thought. Why be born again? Why be born again? If you're going to help me preach this morning, I want you to put your Bibles down, lift your hearts and your hands, and let's ask God to have His way in this place. Lord, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit, for Your presence that is in this house. Anoint Your Word today and let it come forth with power. Anoint every heart and every life in this building to hear and receive according to Thy purpose and plan. We ask it in that name that is above every name. The name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord right now and give Him praise. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. God indeed had a purpose in the very beginning for creating this being called man. There was a plan in the mind of God, and it is evident to us in Genesis chapter number 1. beginning in verse number 26, that God had a specific reason and purpose for creating man and placing him in the earth. The Bible says in Genesis 1 and 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." It seems and appears that God had the purpose that man would have dominion over all that he had created. For he goes on to say that he would have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. That's pretty good. First thing that happens when you open your eyes is you get blessed. Amen. This is a different type of blessing than what we have come to know as blessing. In the Bible, almost every time that an individual is blessed, it was more than just a feel-good or an emotion. But in the Bible, when somebody is blessed, almost without exception, it means that something has been added to them. Not just a sensation, not just an emotion that helps them through a troubling time or a trying time, but when God would bless an individual, it is very apparent that God would add something to them. The blessing was that something has been added to me by God. And the Bible says that God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Bring it into submission and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So we can see very apparently from Genesis chapter 1 that God intended for man to have a specific purpose in the earth, and that was to have dominion and to bring into subjection the earth, and to be fruitful, to have offspring, to multiply, to grow, to replenish, to fill the earth. From the very beginning, God's purpose for humanity was to grow, was to multiply and be fruitful, and was to fill the earth and bring it into subjection. And so we go to Genesis chapter 2, and God begins to tell us exactly how it was that he intended to do this and to begin this. For the Bible says in Genesis 2 and 4, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew." In other words, God designed what it was going to be before he ever put it in the earth. Another whole subject. "For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the eye and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now, what I want to ask you today is this: did God never intend for man to know
the difference between good and evil? Or did God intend to teach him the difference between good and evil? I do not believe that God intended that man would never know the difference between good and evil, or he would have never put that tree in the garden. Why did he put the tree there and then tell man, don't eat of it? Because God, from the very beginning, operated by a command and a law and a boundary. And he intended for man to grow and to commune with him. Because later on the Bible says that in the cool of the evening, in the moving of the wind, that God came into the garden looking for Adam and Eve. I don't believe that was the first time that it happened, but I believe it was a regular occurrence in the garden that God would come to Adam and come to Eve and commune with them. And I believe that God intended to develop in Adam the understanding between God's law and the understanding of contradicting or going against God's law. He said, you can eat of this tree of life as much as you want to, and every other tree of the garden, but not of this tree. Why? Because I'm going to take you on a journey that's going to show you and bring understanding to you of what the difference is between good and evil. What the difference is between hearing God's word and obeying God's word and doing what you want to do and disobeying God's word. So, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. God begins to teach that man. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. In other words, he put Adam in the garden to make it grow even greater. Let me just say this. Work was not part of the curse. God intended for man to work from the very beginning. I brought you into the garden to work, to dress it, to keep it, that it would grow and that it would flourish. But part of the curse was that instead of doing work that is multiplied and work that is very fruitful, now you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow just to get a loaf of bread. You're going to have to pull the thorns aside. You're going to have to pull the thistles aside. You're going to have to clean all this up just to get a loaf of bread. It's going to take work. It's going to take pain. It's going to take struggle. Unlike in the garden when you could work so easily and at your own pace and things would naturally grow. Amen. Are you still with me? And the Bible says that the Lord God commanded the man. He commanded the man. Can I tell you, there's never been a day, nor will there ever be, that the law of God is not in effect. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Amen. Now listen to what the book of Hebrews chapter number 5 says, and verse number 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use or experience have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, there comes a time in a man's life that through experience and through knowledge and through understanding, he should be able to discern both good and evil. That is exactly what God intended in the garden, that through experience, that through teaching, you are going to understand why why you don't need to eat of that tree. You're going to learn why you don't need to partake of what I said you cannot partake of. You're going to learn and understand why I commanded you not to eat of that tree. And when you come to full age, you're going to discern. God knew the tempter was coming. God knew Satan was roaming the earth and that he would try to destroy his creation. And God intended that if Adam would walk close to him, if Adam would be sensitive to his voice, if Adam would be sensitive to his leading, he knew the tempter was coming to destroy what he had created. And he intended, I've got to teach man how to walk with me and know what is good and know what is evil. Amen. That is exactly what the psalmist is telling us in Psalms chapter number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What's a tree do? It starts out small and then it grows. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Adam, if you'll stay close to God and you grow like a tree, even when the tempter comes, you will have discernment by the Spirit of what is good and what is evil.
You with me?
But Satan, wanting to supersede what God was doing, came to Eve in the form of the serpent that was subtle and was smooth and was easy. And he said unto the woman, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. The same words that God said, you will eventually die. And the serpent says, you will not eventually die. God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil wanted Adam and Eve to believe that they could take knowledge into themselves outside of God. They did not need God telling them what was good and what was evil. They could take knowledge into themselves, and then they did not need God. They could look at everything and decide, is it good or it's evil? You don't need God to live in the garden, Adam. You don't need God to live in the garden, Eve. You can decide for yourself what is good and evil. What they did not understand was, God intended to teach them, if they would have walked with him and stayed close to him, they would have gained knowledge of good and evil. But it would have been revelation. It would have been understanding. And they could have looked at evil and said, I don't want it. It's not part of me. It's not part of my life. But instead, they said, we can do it without God. And he convinced them to sever their relationship with God, because he was a slavish God that dictated to them what they could do and what they couldn't do. But Satan said, you don't need that. You can decide what's good. And you can decide what is evil. You can say, I don't think that's evil. I'm going to partake of that. Well, what about what God said? Big deal about what God said. I know that in my own heart, I don't think it's wrong to eat this fruit. And in essence, what they were saying was, there is an alternative world to the orderly structure of God's world. In essence, what Satan was trying to convince them of was that you don't have to live in God's world. You can live in your own world. You can decide what's good, and you can decide what is evil. You can decide if you should do this or if you shouldn't do that. And when man takes knowledge into himself and lays aside the law of God, you have people saying, well, maybe it's okay to do this, and maybe it's okay to do that, and maybe we can do this, and maybe we can do that, because I've taken knowledge into myself. And I look at what's going on in the world, and I say, hadn't heard a preacher preach on that in a while, so I'll decide if it's good or evil. Hadn't heard the law of God say that's wrong, so I'll decide if it's good or evil. And in essence, you and I are getting caught in the same trap that Adam and Eve got caught in. And that is, instead of being led by the Spirit, you decide. Maybe this ain't a Sunday morning message. I don't know. I will tell you, that's why we got a generation that looks at what men who spent hours fasting and hours praying and said, we sought God and we sought the presence of the Spirit and we feel the Spirit leading us in this way. Now we've got a generation that says, that don't look evil to me. And the key question is, have you fasted as long as they did? Have you prayed as long as they did about making the decision? If you haven't, then you've taken knowledge into yourself, and you are saying, my knowledge supersedes the Spirit, and I will decide what is good and what is evil. I don't know why I'm preaching this today. I feel it burning in my soul. That's why people can look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and say, it don't look evil to me. It's all right if you cut your hair. But what about what God says? Well, he's so slavish. He just wants to put you under such a bondage. He wants to put you under such a heavy hand. He wants to do so many things that God loves you. He would never hurt you for doing that. Tell Adam that. Before there was a law. Before there was a Bible, before there was a gospel, before there was anything else but the created things of God, God commanded them. And man said, I don't need the commands of God. I got my own world I can live in out here. I can live in my own world out here and do what I want to. And I'll take knowledge into myself. And I'll decide what is good and what is evil. That is the generation that you and I are living in. Don't preach to me, preacher, about what I can and can't do. Preach to me about blessing. Preach to me about grace. Preach to me about forgiveness. And all of those things are important. But before grace can be effective and before forgiveness can be effective, you have got to understand there is a law of God that says if you listen to me, I'll lead you and I'll guide you into all truth. church age that says, tell me what I can't do and tell me what I can do, instead of going back to the original principle of God that says, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, guide me. And when I get too close to something, bump me and tell me to move on this direction. And when I get, well, the preacher didn't say it was wrong, but there's something inside of me that's saying, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't partake of that. Don't get involved in that. It's called the Holy Ghost leading and guiding and nurturing and growing and maturing an individual in the kingdom of God. It's the cry of a young preacher that says, come on, church. Stop trying to make the preacher dictate your life and get on your knees and get in your prayer closet and say, God, I want to be saved. I want my family to be saved. Lead me. Guide me. Direct me.
Hallelujah. In the turn of this century, or the 20th century, the thing that propelled the revival that was seen among the world, 17, 1800s and early 1900s, 90% of preaching was law, 10% was grace. 90% of the preaching said, this is what God said, and men would get so convicted. And then here would come forgiveness. But now, 90% grace. People change churches when you start preaching the 10% law. I'm getting off course here. You start trying to preach that 10% law and people blow up. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. Why is our preacher so old-fashioned, so hard-headed? I can't wait till he's gone. We need to do some stuff around here. Oh, but then he gets back on the grace. Oh, hallelujah. That's what I like. And the reason is because we're living in an hour and a day when people say, don't tell me what to do. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me how good I'm doing. Instead of looking me in the eye and saying, God said, don't eat of it. The woman saw the tree was good for food. It looks good. It feels good. One of the, oh. Yank this if I get out of line. One of the greatest deceptions there is to walk contrary to what you know is right and say, I still feel God. Oh, I'm okay. So now you've established a line. Then you take the next step. Oh, I just still feel God. Oh, I must be okay. I must be all right because what I thought was evil I've partaken of and I feel okay. I didn't die when it happened. Look, Eve, we're still alive. One of the greatest deceptions I've watched in a young couple in our church that was very ministry-oriented, that stepped outside of their boundaries and started meddling in an area they shouldn't have been meddling in. And somebody said, hey, you need to take that to the pastor. They said, no, we don't want to bother the pastor with that. And all of a sudden, something started happening. They started doing strange things. They started going strange ways. And her excuse was this. I still give tongues and interpretation. God must be okay with what I'm doing. Well, Adam and Eve didn't die. They must have been okay. So there must be an alternative world to God's world. The fact is that it is a lie that there is no alternative to God's world. You either live in it obediently and live, or you live in it disobediently and ultimately die. Not just bury buried in a casket and put in the ground, but forever separated from the presence of God. It is not about how good it feels. It is not about how much evil you think it is or how good you think it is. What does the Word of God say?
And they partook and their eyes were open. They knew that they were naked. Something clicked in me the other day when I read this again. There's another place that people thought they had everything they needed, but they were really naked. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, it says to the church of the Laodiceans, write these things. Tell them they think that they are increased with goods and have need of nothing. But in reality, they are naked. What was he saying? He was saying they think that they are living in their own world that they are controlling. Because Laodiceans means the people. Ruled by laity. Where the laity says, we don't think that's evil, preacher, so we're going to do it.
And they ruled that church. And they didn't need God, and they didn't need a preacher.
Because they were increased with goods. Had need of nothing.
But when God looked at them, they were naked and wretched and miserable
because they were trying to live in His world without Him.
And there are too many people today who are trying to live in God's world
on their own terms.
People out there and people in here.
Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 13, time came, God told Abraham, Lot's going to have to leave. The Bible says that Abraham gave Lot his choice. And the word of the Lord says that Lot lifted up his eyes toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward the plains of Jordan. Now notice what the Bible says. This is the only time the Bible brings it up. It says that they were well-watered plains, even like the garden of the Lord. And Lot was saying, all right, man, I can have all those blessings of the garden and God won't be around to bother me. I can live in a place just like the garden, but without those rules and regulations. I can slip into Sodom and Gomorrah if I want to and slip back out. I move into Sodom and Gomorrah if I want to and go out and visit the gardens that are like the Lord. And I don't have all that command of what to do and not to do. And I can be myself. And I can live like I want to live.
But can I tell you this morning, whether you like it or not, you are created by sovereign God that will not force you to live for Him. He didn't force Adam and Eve. He said, I'm going to give you a choice. There is a tree that you can't eat of if you think you're big enough to do it on your own.
But I'm still sovereign, and I make the rules.
We're living in a world that would love to convince us that God's rules are foolish and we can supersede them. Where did that come from? It came from the garden and the lie of the serpent that did not want God's will to succeed. And he wanted to destroy it. And the only way he knew how was to lie to man and convince him that he didn't have to live in God's world. And today it is the same old lie have to live according to God's rules. You can live like you want to live. You've got knowledge in yourself. You have ability to discern what's good and what's evil. Running rampant in Christianity as a whole today is a spirit known as Arminianism, which simply means given to feeling instead of law. It means to have no regard for spiritual, civil, or moral law, simply on feeling. If it feels good, the law's wrong. Running rampant in the world is a spirit that says if it feels good, do it. God said, this is what happens when that spirit dominates. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Thy conception. She had given birth probably before then and was definitely made by God to give birth if she would have stayed pure in the garden. But now with that conception came much sorrow and pain. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. I never noticed this before, but notice what he said to the woman. And he shall rule over thee. He didn't say that in the garden. He said that after the fall. In the garden, they both had their respected roles, but were on equal terms. But after the fall, the woman would now be under the rulership of the man. You want to know why we're having so? I'm going to get in trouble here, but that's okay. I'll redeem myself in a minute. You want to know why there's such a struggle in the world today, female against male? Because they want to be what God intended for them to be without God in their life. Equal with man. They want to be on the same terms as man, but they don't want to do it God's way. They want to do it their way. That is why there is such a struggle between men and women in the world today, because by the nature of the curse, she is under the rulership of the man. But Paul said, that those who are baptized in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond or free. You know what he was saying? If you get back into God's original purpose and back into God's original plan, you'll get back into your original position. You know why? It is imperative to be born again, because you will never be in your rightful position that God created you to be in until you are. The word religion comes from an Italian word. Its original meaning was a ligament, legion, the connection of ligaments. To be religion, religion, means to be reconnected. See, there's kind of a thought running around right now. Oh, we don't want to just be religious. We want to be apostolic. Well, that's true in one sense, if your reconnection is to apostolic power and authority. We don't want to just be reconnected to say we're reconnected. We want to be reconnected to the original purpose and the original intent of God. The reason we want religion in our life is we want to be reconnected with the purpose of creation, with the purpose of it all. Why did God begin it all in the first place? I've got to be reborn back into that kingdom, back into that place, back into that understanding of what God intended in the very beginning. See, I'm going to get in trouble. But let me say it in the form of a question. Are you really reborn if somebody's got to tell you where to turn right and turn left all the time?
reconnected. If we've got to go back and read the law, okay, can I do this? No, don't say anywhere that I can or I can't. So it must be all right. And the whole time something's saying, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. And finally you're far enough where you don't hear the leading of the Spirit anymore. And you keep walking. And you keep walking. And you keep walking. Keep walking. And you get to the place that you can take knowledge into yourself. And you can say, well, I don't think the Pentecostals are right. Well, I don't think the Baptists are right. Well, I don't think the Church of God are right. Instead of going back to the Word of God and say, now what did Jesus say when he was asked about the kingdom? Not what I said. Not what the elder said. Not what Brother Hal believes. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, except a man be born again or born from above, he can not see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, unless you are reconnected, you will never perceive what's going on. You can think you do. You can think you have knowledge. You can think you understand between good and evil. You can think you understand all the plans of God. But until you're born again, you don't even have understanding. Jesus said that, not me. That's not my opinion of what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Go back and study. The word see there is not seeing with your eyes. It's the word perception, understanding. Until you are born of the Spirit, you can't even perceive what the kingdom's about. That's why people say, well, when I understand Pentecost, I'll be a part of it. Then you won't ever be a part of it. That's why people say, when I understand holiness preaching, I'll live it. Well, then you won't ever. So if you're having problems understanding, you might need to be born again. Bless God, I've been around here a long time. I know what's good. I know what's evil. Do you really? Because Jesus said, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I've come to tell you why you ought to be born again. It's because when you're born again, you get understanding of what it's all about. When you're born in the water, when you're born in the Spirit, all of a sudden, all the things that didn't make sense, all of a sudden you say, now I understand. Now I see it. Now I perceive it. Now I know what you've been trying to tell me. And to the saint of God this morning, let me stress to you, do not fall prey to the lie of the adversary that says you can live outside of the Word of God. You cannot do it. You may live outside of this world, outside of this Word, in this world, but brother, there will be a day where every human being that has ever lived will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Whether you think it will or you think it won't, the Word of God says it will happen. And you can take your chances of deciding for yourself what is good and what is evil, but still having the same end as everyone else. Having to stand before Christ and tell Him why. I gave you my word. I gave you a preacher. And you decided to take it into yourself. I don't know why I feel these things. I'm trying to get away from some of this, but I feel the Holy Ghost pressing me back into it. That's why people can sit in their living room with their families and watch adultery on television. They take knowledge into themselves. Say, it's good, it's okay. And then they want to know why their kids are running behind their backs and doing all kind of ungodly things. Okay, we won't own a TV. We'll just watch the movie. I know I'm not the pastor, but I feel the Holy Ghost pushing on me. And I don't preach like this. You know I don't. But I feel the Holy Ghost pushing on me because somebody needs to understand today, you're on the border of taking knowledge into yourself and saying, well, I know the preacher didn't get up and say I can't watch this movie. And the whole plot line about husband and wife running around on each other. And God said, thou shalt not. And you start taking knowledge into yourself, and then you hear the word of God, and then you start deciding if it's evil or good. Well, I hear what you're saying, preacher, but I know what the word of God says, but I think that I can eat of this fruit and be okay. Because you're trying to keep me in a prison. Not knowing that if they would have stayed with God, God would have gave them the same knowledge, but with understanding of how to live by it. Blessings. But instead, they got ahead of God. And Satan said, come on, come on, come on. You don't need God. Come on, come on. You can have knowledge yourself. You don't need God telling you what's good and what's evil. You are well made in the image of God. You should be able to discern that. God intended it for them to discern it, but they had to grow into it so that when the tempter came, they could say, no, I've heard the voice of the Lord. And he said, don't walk that way. Don't live like that, Adam. Don't go that way, Eve. Because there's danger. There's danger. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed in this place today. I know it's a little different for a Sunday morning service, but I felt it so strong in the Holy Ghost. Musicians, come help us out, please. Friend, I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're a visitor here today, or maybe you're a saint of God sitting under the sound of my voice. And you have found yourself saying, well, what's wrong with that? Well, why not this, sir? They do it. One of the biggest traps the adversary would... I'm going to be real careful right here, but I'm going to tell you one of the biggest traps the adversary will lay for you is to look around at everybody else and say, well, they're doing it. It must be okay. No, you better listen to what the Holy Ghost is telling you. You better listen to what the Spirit... I'm talking expressly to somebody right now. You better hear this right here. You better hear it. You're almost getting tangled up in something because you're so disillusioned by looking around and saying, well, they're doing it. It must be okay. God must approve of it. And yet you know inside something's telling you, no. No, don't. You can't live your life based on what somebody else is doing. You've got to get to that place that the preacher doesn't have to tell you every turn to make. He can lead you and guide you with the Word. And as you live and grow in Christ, the Spirit is telling you, I know it's not wrong. It may not be a sin, but what will it do? How will it look? What direction will it turn you? Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I'm going to be very careful with how I say this because I don't want you... A lot of times preaching this kind of way, people say, well, how can you relate, Brother Patrick? Well, you're just up there preaching words. You're just up there screaming things. You're just up there trying... Let me tell you this much and I'll be finished. I was controlled and dominated by sports. I loved it. I lived it. It was a passion. When I got the Holy Ghost, really, I got it when I was a little kid, but I didn't really get it until I was about 20. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, the only way I made it was I had some youth leaders. I said, Kelly, anytime you need, you just call us. We'll meet you at the church. I said, all right. And I did. I called them. I meet them at the church. Because I told God, I said, God, to prove to you how bad I want to make it, I'm giving you this even in a recreational setting. You say, Brother Patrick, that is so ridiculous. It may be for you, but there's something in your life that you're holding on to. Nothing wrong with it, preacher. Don't you get on to me about it. God's saying, how sensitive you want to be to me? How sensitive? Are you willing to be so sensitive, Adam, that I'll tell you don't eat of that fruit, even though it looks just as good as every other tree in this garden? Are you sensitive enough to say, okay, I won't. I'm not saying these things to lift me up, but I want somebody's here today. You need to hear that preachers you see in this pulpit have somewhere in their lives struggled with the same things you're struggling with. I'm being very open today, more than I normally would. But as a teenager, I was involved in things that I'm ashamed of and I will not talk about because I don't think... And just let me put this plug in, young couples. One of the biggest distractions to young people is young couples talking about all the things they did and making it sound like how much fun it was. And that youth group feels like they got to live up to what you did. That was free. And I was involved in things that... Anyway, there was a certain restaurant that to me had that atmosphere. And for years after I prayed through, even after we were married for a long time, my wife knew that's off limits. But they got good food. But you don't understand. There's a spirit I pick up on when I walk in there. And until I grow enough in God, and I have been there of late because I'm past that. I mean, I feel like I've to a place now God's helped me through all that. But when I was trying to grow and I was trying to learn and I was trying to get my footing, I'd walk in there and that same old spirit was there. Come on, Brother Patrick, it's a restaurant. That's why you're struggling. Because you've got knowledge. There's nothing evil about it. Nothing wrong with it. And yet you don't see the hands and the tentacles that are reaching into your world and saying, yeah, that's right. That's right. You don't have to give up something so simple. You don't have to quit doing something so insignificant. And yet you wonder why you keep falling and why you keep tripping and you pray through and you trip and you pray through and you trip and you pray through and you fall. And God says, every time you do, God's trying to tell you, I'm preaching to somebody today. You know exactly what God's dealt with you about, because every time you get on fire for God, God takes your attention specifically to something. And because time kind of passes and you realize, oh, it's really not that big a deal. God's trying to say, come on, let the Spirit lead you. Learn to be a tree planted. Grow. Grow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there's somebody in this house today that says, you know what? You know what? It's not worth it. Taking knowledge into my own hands and thinking that I can make it, deciding what is good and evil. But I have got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, that's why homosexuality is so rampant right now and sticking its ugly head out in the face of Christianity, because they think they can make their own choices outside of God's law. And there's only one place that man is complete. That's why marriages don't make it. That's why marriages fail. That's why men and women run from marriage to marriage looking for satisfaction in a different partner, in a different spouse, in a different relationship. Because the only place of complete satisfaction is in the kingdom of God. In the completion of God's purpose. I wonder if there's anybody in this house today. You're not saying you're backslidden. In fact, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. I want every saint of God, every visitor that will. And I tell a visitor this right now so you won't be afraid. But if you're a visitor here today, I will not come to you and force you to pray. But I am going to ask you to do one thing. Everybody in this house, and I know sometimes there's people here that's physically unable. I've been here long enough to know there's people here that your normal routine is not to come to the altar. You like to stay in your pew or go in the foyer. But I'm going to ask you today, everybody that's in this house, if you're not willing to come to the front, please leave. But everybody in this house, I want you to come to this altar. You can kneel, you can stand, or whatever you want to do. But there are people here today you need to talk with God. And I'm not going to single you out. I would not embarrass you for nothing in the world. But I'm going to tell you, you need to go back to where it all started. You need to go back to where it all started, with a nudging of the Spirit, with a completion in the kingdom, where God was trying to make you whole. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Talk to him, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. Talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. Come on, as they begin to sing. Come on, as they begin to entertain the presence of the Lord in this house. Why don't you let the Holy Ghost renew something in you? Why don't you let a reconnection be in your life? Come on, why don't you let a reconnection start happening in your life? Come on, why don't you take some things and lay them on the altar and say, all right, God, I know the preacher hadn't preached against it. I know nobody's told me it's not right. But I feel that nudging of the Holy Ghost. I feel that leading of the Spirit. Come on, come on, come on. There's a maturity in the Spirit that God wants to bring to your life. There's a maturity in the body of Christ that God wants to bring to your life. Let him do it today. Come on, let him do it today. Come on, far above all else. Far above all else. Any pleasure in this life, anything in this world, any side thing in this world that would distract me, I must be saved. Come on, I must be saved.
I must be saved. Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. For thou, O Lord, I must be saved.
I think it would be good this morning for every family member to go to one another right now. If you would, husband and wife, seek out your companion right now quickly. This is ordained of God this morning. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I would like to say to this church this morning that this message was directly in the perfect will of God for this church. Amen. Since we have built this new building, since we dedicated this new building, I have been bombarded with five different major attacks. Some of you, members of our family, and some of you have been attacked that I don't even know about yet. The devil is not happy with what we've done around here. But God is so well pleased. Amen. And He is greater. He is greater. I don't want any other family being destroyed, another family being separated, another divorce in this church. Amen. And we don't have to put up with that. I said, we don't have to put up with that. That is not the will of God. Satan is wanting to destroy. If he can destroy the family, he destroys the church. We cannot allow that to happen. We've got to ask God to remove anything and everything out of our heart, out of our mind, out of our spirit that He can use against one another. Amen. And I want us to pray for one another right now. I want the husbands to pray for the wives and the wives to pray for the husband. And when you do it, I want a spirit of forgiveness, true, genuine forgiveness to come over you. And I want you to yield to that and obey God. Would you do it right now? Quickly. Quickly, while the Spirit of God is moving in here like it is. Hallelujah. We're coming up against something today that we must overcome and not allow it to overcome us. In Jesus' name right now, pray. Pray aloud. Open your mouth. Pray sincerely for your family. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, pray. Hey, you're not too young and you're not too old to be attacked by the enemy. Pray.